John chapter 15, and to begin with, we're going to read just verse number 16. John chapter 15 and verse 16. The title of the message this morning is Chosen to be Soul Winners. Chosen to be soul winners. We've been chosen to be soul winners. John chapter 15 and verse number 16. The Bible says this. If you'll stand with me, we'll read it together. John 15 and verse 16. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Let's read it again, and I'd like us to read it together out loud, okay? So look at your Bibles, if you would, and let's read it aloud. Let's all read it together, okay? Let's begin. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Let's pray together. Father, I ask you please to help us this morning. Please work in me that I would say those things that I need to say and ought to say, and not say anything that I should not say. It's important this morning that Father, that your Spirit work in us and your Spirit speak to us and your Spirit convict us. Help me to be Spirit-led. Help all of us to be Spirit-filled Christians. Help us to yield to you and obey you in our lives, please. Use us. You want us to bear fruit. You want us to reach others with the gospel. And please use us. Convict us. Challenge us, Lord. Use us. Give us a passion to share the gospel of Christ with others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Chosen to be soul winners. Chosen to be soul winners. I'm going to make a few statements today of some things that God does and some things that maybe also say a few things that God does not first. God does not only choose some to be soul winners. He does not only choose some to be soul winners. That, you know, for some, they could have a ministry doing this. Some could have a ministry of doing this, and some could have a ministry of trying to witness. All of us ought to be witnesses for Christ. So God does not only choose some. A second statement there. God does not make soul winning a spiritual gift only for some. Soul winning is really not one of the spiritual gifts. I mean, we can be some that have a spiritual gift that maybe for some people it would make them just more bold in declaring the word of God and declaring the gospel and so on. And that sometimes can be, you know, the bold proclaimers and so on. But all of us are to be proclaimers. Some may have just that spiritual gift that gives them a certain type of boldness, gives them an ability and a gift in preaching. Some have a gift in teaching. But soul winning is not one of the spiritual gifts. It's just something that every Christian is to attempt to do because we're to be warning others about the future, trying to win them to Jesus Christ. So soul winning is God does not only choose some to be soul winners. God does not make soul winning a spiritual gift only for some. God does not say, well, some serve me by soul winning, others by teaching, others by music or singing, or some by praying. Listen, we all ought to pray. We all ought to sing unto the Lord. There may be some who have a spiritual gift in teaching. There may be some that have other spiritual gifts that would make them a good teacher as well. But listen, soul winning is not a spiritual gift. Soul winning is just something where we are attempting to witness. We're attempting to share with others what we've seen and heard and experienced. We're trying to share what Christ has done in our life. We're to be witnesses. God does not ordain for some people to go and some people to give. We could think, well, some go and some give. No, God does not ordain for some people to go and some to give. Well, some will go across the sea and they'll be missionaries, or they'll go to some, and then others just give. You know what? I think everybody ought to go and everybody ought to give. It's just a matter of where. It's just a matter of where. Some may go across the sea. Some may be called to the Wilder family, our missionaries down in Guatemala. I think about them because yesterday I met a lady from Guatemala as I was driving home. There was a lady that she was staring at a phone and looking at street signs and looking like this and looking around everywhere. And so I got out and said, you know, can I help you? What do you need? And she barely spoke any English. And I guess she was just in the area visiting her children and grandchildren and so on. Listen, the Wilders were called of God to go to Guatemala to preach the gospel. They're down there serving the Lord. The Paulicians have been called of God, and one of our missionary families, very soon they're going to be headed down to Uruguay. That's exciting. They finished their deputation. They're going to be going to Uruguay in just a matter of weeks. They've been called to go there. Now listen, I've not been called to go to Uruguay or to Guatemala, but you know what? I'm called to go right here. And you're called to go right here. Wherever you live, you can try to be a witness for Christ. You may not be called to go in the sense of, you know, being in full-time ministry as a missionary or something like that, but all of us need to witness. All of us need to seek to share the gospel with others. And all of us, of course, ought to try to give to help reach others with the gospel, no matter where we are, where we live. Look again at John chapter 15 and verse 16. I want to share a few statements with you here this morning to help us. John chapter 15 and verse 16, just the first part of the verse we'll read for now. It says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." God included that verse in the Bible. God included that verse in the book of Proverbs. Even the psalmist talks about sowing in tears and reaping in joy and so on. There is clearly even Old Testament verses, New Testament verses that teach us about this thing of sometimes we call it a soul winning. We could call it soul warning. We can call it witnessing. We can call it sharing the gospel, sharing our faith. We can call it a lot of different things. But it's all a matter of obeying the Great Commission to go and preach the gospel to tell others about Jesus Christ. And this verse tells us this. Here's my first statement. God does choose for us to be soul winners. God does choose for us to be soul winners. He has made that choice. It's not really a choice for us. We don't have a choice in the matter. When we choose to accept Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, all of us are then chosen by God to become witnesses for Christ, to share the gospel with others. I believe it's God's will. I don't think we could get around it in the Bible to say anything else, but that it is God's will, it is God's plan or God's desire for all of us to become soul winners, to become witnesses, to tell others about Jesus Christ. God chooses to use us. Isn't that an amazing thought? That God would use us. He's willing to use me and you. Do you know that you could share the gospel with your neighbor if you have a good relationship with them, better than I could? You could share the gospel with some co-worker better than I could if you have a good relationship with them, because you know them and they know you. They're far more likely to trust you or listen to you than they would me. God chooses to use us. And he wants to use us to share the message of salvation, to share the good news, to share the gospel with those who are lost. So statement number one is simple. God does choose for us to be soul winners. Number two, God wants all of us to be soul winners. God does choose for us to be soul winners. And number two, God wants all of us to be soul winners. The command is for all of us. Again, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. When Jesus called out the disciples to follow him, what was one of the things that he said? There's a statement, Matthew and so on. He said, "Follow me and I will" what? "And I will make you fishers of men." You know what Jesus was talking about when he comes to Peter? You know, he comes to some of these people that were fishermen. They had a boat. They had nets. They went out and they caught fish. When he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," he was talking about witnessing. He was talking about soul winning. He was talking about sharing the gospel, trying to bring other people to the truth, to the gospel, to Jesus Christ. Listen, God wants all of us to be soul winners. We are all to be his disciples. We are all to follow him. And if we're following him, we ought to become fishers of men. As disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, we are called, we are commanded, we are commissioned to be witnesses. And all of us should seek to bring other people to Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, that's just a pastor's job." Yes, it is a pastor's job, but it's all of our jobs. It's all of us as a Christian that we ought to care about our neighbors that don't know Jesus Christ. You ought to care about the person that you work with that doesn't know Jesus Christ. You ought to care about others in your community that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, because they need salvation. They need to be saved. Your relatives need Jesus Christ. People you know need Jesus Christ. And God wants us all to be soldiers. I told my wife yesterday, when we were driving, and we had had a good day, and it was good weather yesterday, and we had a bunch of people that went out and tried to share the gospel. We met different people and, you know, had conversations and so on. On Thursday night, my wife got to fully go through the gospel with a lady that then prayed and trusted Christ as her Savior. That was a blessing. But, you know, we tried to share the gospel with different people, and then we were driving up one road, and I said, good night. I said, I just wish we could do so much more, because there are so many people in our town, and, you know, there's over 200,000 people just in Richmond Hill alone. And it just keeps growing and growing even. And I thought, good night, we can only meet so many people, that we need to do so much more. I wish we could do so much more. Listen, we need to be witnesses. We need to be soul winners. The more people that become soul winners, more people that become fishers of men, the more people can be reached with the gospel. I'm going to make these statements this morning. Number one, God does choose for us to be soul winners. It's not a choice we make. It's a choice that He makes. We choose Christ as our Savior. Yes, you've got to make that choice. But once you put your faith in Him, He says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. God chooses for us to be soul winners. Number two, God wants all of us to be soul winners. It's for all of us. Number three, God does ordain for every Christian both to go and to give. God does ordain for every Christian both to go and to give. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit. We're to bring forth fruit. In Matthew chapter 28, it tells us this, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Oh, that's a big command, isn't it? That's a big command for us as disciples. How are we going to teach all nations? I understand in the city that we live in now, we have an opportunity maybe to, in a unique way, teach all nations, that we meet people from all kinds of different nations and all kinds. You can just go on a street and find out that people live on streets many times from many different countries. That's a unique opportunity. But you know what? I'm to get the gospel to all nations, both by trying to reach people in my town and to send the gospel around the world. We're to reach all nations. We're told in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why was Jesus Christ sent into the world? Luke 19:10 gives us the answer. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did Jesus come into the world? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for sinners. He came seeking sinners. Sometimes we might hear terms and wonder, if are people seekers? Are people seekers? Listen, Jesus is the greatest seeker of all. He is seeking the lost. Seeking the lost. He wants them to be saved. He came to seek and to save the lost. But now He sends us. In John 20:21, Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So what? We've got that same responsibility. Seeking to save. We ought to be on a search and rescue mission to seek and to save the lost, to bring them to Jesus Christ. God has ordained for us both to go and to give. We have a responsibility both to go and to give. We should go personally to take the gospel to people in our own area. And we should give to send others with the gospel to the regions beyond. The gospel is clear on that. We see that happening when people got reached, when people in cities got reached. We look through the book of Acts and see as Paul went as a missionary preaching the gospel, planting churches in different cities. We see how Christians and churches started helping, realizing, boy, we want to get the gospel out to regions beyond us. And they started to help send Paul and Silas and others to get the gospel to other places. That's why I say, and I can biblically prove it, that, listen, we need to both go and to give. We need to both go and go where you're at. You know, go in your neighborhood, go in your city, go to others in your workplace, go to your relatives, but let's also give to help send some missionaries around the world. Where to go and where to give. Number one, God does choose for us to be soul winners. Number two, God wants all of us to be soul winners. Number three, God does ordain for every Christian both to go and to give. Look at Romans chapter 10 with me, if you would. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. Look there with me. Maybe I'll ask you to read it. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. Romans 10, 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved." I'm going to read and I'm going to give you some blanks to fill in. You can tell me what the words say. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." We're all called to go. Whether it be to our neighbors, whether it be to the people of our town, whether it be to another country on the other side of the world, we're all to go. God has ordained for all to go. That's personal evangelism for all. That's witnessing to co-workers. That's trying to tell neighbors about Jesus Christ. That's trying to invite them to church. That's trying to give them a gospel tract. That's trying to maybe share with them the difference that Jesus has made in your life. That's what witnessing's about. That's maybe becoming a preacher for some people. That's answering God's call to be a missionary for some people. That's witnessing to others around us. That's for all. Listen, God has ordained for all to go, whether it be near or far away. But secondly, he's also ordained for us to send. We're to go. They've got to hear somehow. Somebody's got to tell them, but they've also need to be sent. There will be time where there will be preachers or missionaries that are called to go, but we have to help send them. Help send them. In the month of November 25th, I think it is, we're going to have a missionary family with us, and I'm excited. They're going to go to the Arctic, up above the Arctic Circle. You say, do people live up there? They sure do, and God loves them. There's a missionary family that's going to go to the Arctic and serve the Lord up there. Listen, somebody's got to send them. Somebody's got to help them to go. I want to help send them. At the month of December 30th, there's a family that's going to come be with us, and they're going to the Far East. We want to go as many places as we can. So this family's going to the far north. This family December 30th, his name is Go Oishi. I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, a Japanese man I met recently. They're going to the Far East, as we sometimes call it. They're going to Japan. And he left there as a little boy, but he wants to go to Japan and preach the gospel there and start churches there and serve Christ there. Boy, somebody's got to send them. Somebody's got to send them. God ordains for all of us to go, but he also ordains for us to send. Preachers and missionaries need to be sent to places and people around the world that know nothing of Jesus Christ. And we are called to do both to go and both to give. Doing one thing does not excuse my responsibility to do the other. Listen, think about it. If I do one, that doesn't mean, well, I don't have to do the other. I have to do both. I have to go and I have to give. I believe they're both our responsibilities. I can't just think, well, I give to missionaries, so I've done my part. No, I need to pass out gospel tracts. I need to try to be a witness right here where I live because there's people around me that don't know Christ. Some other people that might get the attitude, well, I go. I go every week. I go downtown on the streets of Toronto every week. I go in apartment buildings every week. So I don't need to give to missions. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do right here. I think that kind of attitude is wrong too. We are both to go and to give. Doing one does not excuse my responsibility to do the other. Those that say I give are also supposed to give. Those that give are also supposed to go. Because we need to reach people both where we're at and where we're not at, all around the world. Statement number 4 this morning, God does promise us his presence with us and his power as we go soul winning. It's a bit longer if you're writing it down. Let me share it again. Number 4, God does promise us his presence with us and his power as we go soul winning. He promises us his presence. He'll go with us. And he promises us his power, his Holy Spirit power, as we go soul winning. Turn with me over to Acts chapter number 1 and verse 8. Look there with me. Keep your Bible open and let's look at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Just there should be a few pages over perhaps if you're in the Gospel of John. The very next book is the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth." Why does it name those places? It names those places because where they were was at Jerusalem right then. That just happened to be where they were. And so that's why he tells them to, well, go to people around you. Start witnessing to people that live in this city. Go to them. Tell them about Jesus Christ. But don't just stop there. Take the gospel to all of Judea. And even into Samaria, that kind of group of people that you've never really been real fond of. They've kind of had a prejudice against. And they did. He says, you take the gospel to them too. And then he says, to the uttermost parts of the earth. If we read later in the book of Acts, we find a time where the Great Commission is kind of almost given in a different order. And it just happened to be because, well, that's where those people were at the time. Or that's where Paul was at the time. And listen, we're just to take the gospel both where we are, we're to send it to where we're not. We have a Great Commission to obey. But see that God goes with us and who give us his power. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Christ empowers us, and he helps us to go. Listen, we are not left alone to do his work. Isn't that a good thing? We're not left alone. You might feel like, if I try to talk to somebody, you're not alone. You want to be a witness for Christ? God says, I'll give you my Holy Spirit power. I'll help you. I'll help you. We're not left alone to do his work. We're laborers with him. And we have his presence and his power as we go. In Acts 4 and verse 31, the Christians prayed. And the Bible says that they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they shared the word of God with boldness. How could they do that? Some of these people were even going to be persecuted for being Christians. Hated because they were Christians. But they began to share the word of God with boldness. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God filled them with his power. Soul winning is not just a spiritual gift for some who are great talkers. Oh, it's not just a spiritual gift. Well, some are great speakers or great talkers, or they just love to talk so they can do it. I know people that are good talkers. That's no guarantee that they'll be a good witness. Listen, we all can be good witnesses if we'll just be obedient. If we'll ask God's Holy Spirit to fill us and give us his power and to use us as we seek to go. Soul winning is something that God will enable us to do and help us all to do as we pray for and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside every believer. If you are saved, God's Holy Spirit actually dwells in you, the Bible says. We're the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. A part of God lives in you. Shouldn't that give us confidence that he can help us? He can empower us. He can use us. In Matthew chapter 28, when the disciples were told to go, Jesus promised and said, "And lo, I am with you always." As you try to go to all nations to preach the gospel, lo, I am with you always. We are not alone when we go soul winning. Even the apostle Paul, he knew what it was like to speak to others about Christ when he himself was weak. When he himself was fearful. When he himself wasn't sure that his words would be convincing. I want you to look at something real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Just the very next book after the Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. It's nearby. You'll find it easily, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. You might say, the apostle Paul, how could he ever be afraid? I mean, he's a great apostle. There was times where he was weak and in trembling. He maybe thought that his words wouldn't be good enough, but no, you know, something that doesn't matter, our words. It doesn't matter how weak we may be, how incapable we may feel, how unworthy we may feel. It matters the power of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verses 1 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, it says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." I didn't come being able to speak real excellently. Some fine speech, it says, or of wisdom, "declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Maybe sometimes he trembled when he would try to preach to a crowd or go to a synagogue or stand before a group of people. Maybe sometimes he literally trembled. Maybe there was times where his voice stuttered and he realized what an awesome responsibility he had here, trying to preach to them the precious gospel and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he admits it. He said, "Sometimes I was fearful. Sometimes I trembled. I knew I was weak. But it wasn't me. It wasn't my fancy words." Notice what he says, verse 4. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." Listen, God promises us His presence and His power. His presence and His power. As we seek to be soul winners. I said this, statement number one, God does choose for us to be soul winners. Number two, God wants all of us to be soul winners. Number three, God does ordain for every Christian both to go and to give. Number four, God does promise us His presence with us and His power as we go soul winning. Remember that soul winning does not depend on our strengths. It does not depend on our charisma. It does not depend on your speaking ability. It is a matter of just determining to share Jesus Christ with others and trusting God that He will work in their hearts. The power is not in you and me. The power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ to save sinners. I want you to notice some wonderful promises that God gives for soul winners. First, He promises that we will bear fruit. "Ye have not chosen me," He said, "but I have chosen you and ordained that ye should" what? "Bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Here's some wonderful promises for you if you'll determine, "Boy, I want to be a soul winner. I'd like to be a witness for Christ. I feel incapable, but I'd like to share Christ with others. I would like for Him to use me. I'll attempt to do that. I'll attempt to get involved." Here's some promises for you. He promises that you'll bear fruit. That you'll bear fruit. Oh, you may not bear fruit the first time, but listen, His word will not return void. You just keep sowing the seed, sowing the seed, sowing the seed. Keep sharing the gospel with people. And God will give you fruit. We may not see fruit every time we go out witnessing, but God assures us that we will bear fruit. We are bearing fruit. Sometimes people have to plant a lot of seed in order to get fruit, in order to get a harvest, but we will bear fruit. Sometimes we may just sow seeds of the gospel in someone's heart and mind, and then later another soul winner comes along and they actually, you know, get to reap, if you will. They get to see that person make a decision to put their faith in Christ and be saved. But you know what? That's still fruit for every soul winner that ever witnessed to them or ever shared with them a gospel tract or ever tried to do something to help reach them. Notice something real quickly. Turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, and verses 36 and 37. He promises that we'll bear fruit. He promises that we'll bear fruit. John chapter 4, verse 36 and 37 says this, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." You may not have been there on the day of reaping for a particular person, but maybe you sowed and sowed and you had no idea that the tract you gave to someone, the time that you witnessed to someone, the time that you prayed for someone, was started making a difference in their heart to bring them to Christ, bring them to the gospel. "Both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Verse 37, "And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth." Don't be discouraged about results. Just seek to be a faithful witness and understand that God is working. Number one, God promises that we'll bear fruit. Some promises for soul winners. Number one, He promises that we'll bear fruit. Number two, He promises joy for those who are soul winners. Boy, I want to get in on that. I want to get in on the fruit. I want to be fruit bearing. He promises fruit for the soul winner. Number two, he promises joy for those who are soul winners. Look at John 15 again. John chapter 15 and verses 8 and 11. John chapter 15, verse 8 and 11. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. Sometimes in this passage he talks about fruit and much more fruit and much fruit and so on. So shall ye be my disciples. He says, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. When we do what Christ commands, you know what it brings? Joy. When we do what Christ commands, it will bring joy. When we become witnesses for Christ, when we sow the seed of the gospel, we will eventually reap. We will see some of the fruit of our efforts, and it will bring incredible great joy. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 says this, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sowing the seed of the gospel, sometimes in tears because it's a relative, because it's someone you love and somebody you care about, and maybe you've cried for them, wept for them, prayed for them, but you try, keep trying to sow the seed of the gospel and you don't give up. He says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and soweth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. Soul winning is really the joy club. We could call it the joy club. You want to be a part of the joy club? Learn to become a witness for Christ. You want to be a part of the joy club? Become a soul winner for Christ. Because listen, nothing will bring greater joy to the heart of a Christian than seeing somebody else get saved. Nothing brings greater joy than that. It is the most thrilling thing in the world. If a couple is able to have a baby, God gives them a baby, boy, they're so happy. When our first child was born, and I was just as happy with all the other children, but when our first child was born, BJ, you know, my wife tells me and knows it's true because I told her, you know, I had that little boy in my arms and I was all proud, you know, and I took him out in the hallway, the hospital, and you're going around real proud. You're just so happy because you've born a son. You know what happens when you bear a son in the gospel? You know, you see someone get saved. Boy, it brings such joy, such thrill. Miss Ava here, I believe that her mom's up in heaven, and we've talked at times, and we talked about how her mom's faith, and of course she grew up in a very Catholic country, but I believe there was a time from her testimony that her mom got it going to a different type of church that preached the gospel clearly instead of sacraments and that sort of thing. We talked about that, but there was a night when, guess it's been over a year ago, more than that, some point when we were meeting with Miss Ava and me and Jessica, my daughter, were with Miss Ava one night, and we'd tried and different times, and then one night we got to share the gospel with her clearly there in her living room. And at her kitchen table, as it started to get dark, I think we moved over to the kitchen eventually. And Miss Ava trusted Christ as her Savior that night when we witnessed to her. I tell you something, Miss Ava, when we left your house that night, me and Jessica were just so thrilled and so happy. You know, and I'm in the car and I'm shouting and I'm excited, and some fireworks went off in that night, and Jessica said, that's probably God setting off those fireworks, you know. We were thrilled. Why? Because somebody made a decision to trust Christ. Every time we share the gospel, somebody won't necessarily get saved, but listen, oh, when they do, what a thrill it is in your heart. What joy it brings just to be a witness for Christ and to eventually reap and see souls get saved. It is the joy club. It does bring joy to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Leading people to Christ has brought me the greatest joy I've ever experienced in my life. It is 1,000,000 times better than your favorite sports team winning a championship, and I mean that. Listen, when the Maple Leafs win a Stanley Cup here again in the next few years, I'm going to be happy. I have been a diehard Leafs fan since I was a little boy. And boy, you know what? I'm going to be thrilled and I'll probably shout and so on. But listen, I'm not going to shout as much for that as I do when somebody gets saved. I remember when I was a teenager and the Blue Jays won the World Series. You know, I know where I was at and all that. We were excited teenagers, you know. But let me tell you something. That's not as exciting as somebody getting saved. Oh, it's a thrill and it's a joy to be soul winner, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Let me share with you a third promise, and this is the last thing. The third promise that God gives to soul winners, number three, God promises to answer the prayers of a soul winner. God promises to answer the prayers of a soul winner. I said first, He promises that it'll bear fruit. Secondly, He promises joy for those who are soul winners. And thirdly, He promises to answer the prayers of a soul winner. John chapter 15, again in verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. God promises to answer the prayers of a soul winner. Why do I think that is? I think it's because soul winners are interested in God's greatest concern. When you try to win lost souls and tell people about Jesus Christ and try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell people what's the reason why the Son of God died, why did Jesus come and die on a cross? When you share the gospel and you're trying to win the souls of men or women or boys or girls to Jesus Christ, you're trying to help them to believe on Christ that they can be saved. You are showing that you are interested in the thing that Jesus Christ and God are most concerned about. Because the thing that they love more than anything else is the souls of men and women, boys and girls. That's what God loves. God loves people, and God wants people to be saved. And when we care about people and we care about getting them the gospel, listen, God will take great interest in what your concerns are. If you take an interest in what God's concerned about, God will take an interest in your concerns. God will take an interest in your needs. Care for the concern of God, the heart of God, the need of people to be saved, and God will care about your needs. He will hear and answer your prayers. Promises for the soul winners? Well, He promises that we'll bear fruit, promises joy, and promises to answer our prayers. Listen, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. God has chosen for all of us to be involved, and we need to obey Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would use us. Lord, please give us a passion in our heart and a desire to be used of You. John 15 tells us, you know, we need to obey His commandments, obey the things that He's called us to do and asked us to do, command us to do. It's not a matter of do we get to choose whether we want to or not. It's a matter of are we going to choose to obey. We need to give to help get the gospel around the world. We need to go to help tell somebody the gospel. And God, help us to remember that we don't have to do it on our own. You will give us Your presence. You will give us Your power. You give us the Holy Spirit to empower us and help us to share the gospel. Just to be witnesses. Maybe to tell others of what we did, what decision we made, the difference Jesus has made in our life. Help us, Lord. Use us, please, to be witnesses.